evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry. The new minimum wage law took effect in New York State over the weekend. This is the first weekday that the new law is in effect, the first installment of raises that will eventually take workers to a $15 an hour minimum wage. It affects 2 million low-wage earners in New York State, about 860,000 workers in the five boroughs. Governor Cuomo says any minimum wage worker who does not receive a raise should call the Department of Labor hotline. That's at 1-888-4-NYS-DOL. New York State Department of Labor, 1-888-4-NYS-DOL. That's 1-888-469-7365 to ensure you are paid the wages you are due. George Gresham, president of 1199 SEIU, says in coming days, weeks, and months, the union will be marching shoulder to shoulder with allies, this to defend the gains of workers. Gresham says the president-elect has named cabinet members to oversee departments they previously sought to destroy, like the proposed labor secretary Andrew Puzder, the chief executive of the company that operates the fast food restaurants Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. Puzder is not only opposed to a $15 minimum, he spoke out against a federal minimum wage. Today it stands at a paltry $7.25 an hour. Also, Gresham says, when the Obama administration investigated thousands of worker complaints at fast food restaurants, it found violations mostly over wages at 60% of investigations at the fast food restaurants, which Puzder controls. And immigrant New Yorkers like George and Patrick, who came to the city from Mexico, continue to worry over the Trump-Pence administration.
And we don't know what's going to happen after January 20. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get deported January 21st, so... Because I come here to work, I pay taxes here, but I don't know what's going to happen to me. So, I mean, I came here for a better life, but I don't know if I'm going to find it after January 20.
And people are worried for their family.
Yeah,
we are. Worried about another list.
We are. Yeah, we are. I mean, we are, but, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but.
I'm also a taxpayer because whenever I go shopping, I pay taxes. So I'm a little bit frightened about the fact that he spoke out his mind when there was an election. I don't know whether it's to win votes or just to, because he was speaking out his mind, but it's frightening. Just thinking about somebody who's talking about that ill about Mexicans, and now everybody is like maybe frightened about us, and that's not true. And now he's changing his speech about, no, we're all Asian Americans, like Mexican Americans, or Latin Americans, whatever. So we all have to be united, but the fact is that everybody has that stigma about us Mexicans being rapists and criminals. So,
and if that's not only, it's not only in the US, it's what's happening to our country. Because he wants to cancel NAFTA, and the economic situation in Mexico, if we cancel NAFTA, I don't know what's gonna happen. So it's not only what's gonna happen in the US, what's gonna happen in our country. I mean, the economic situation, I mean, it's not positive, and we're not happy to receive 2017 because we don't know what's going to happen.
These two are not alone by far in their concern over a Trump presidency. There are many in our listening area who won't let a Trump administration rip families apart. On New Year's Eve in Manhattan, as 1 million crammed into Times Square to wait for the ball to drop and hundreds more watched a large video screen from Central Park near Trump Tower, a new coalition, Refuse Fascism, led a march from Trump Hotel to Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue. Activists and concerned listeners in our area refuse to allow the Trump administration to legalize hate and bigotry against people of color, immigrants, women, or LGBT Americans. Deborah Sweet is executive director of The World Can't Wait. She's marching with Refuse Fascism.
People who are united in the need to stop Trump and Pence from taking office. And it's New Year's Eve. We're marching to Trump Tower. We're going out to express, in the interest of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
Along the sidelines, New Year's Eve revelers waiting for the ball to drop watch the protesters with signs which say, "No!" exclamation point, "Stop Trump, Pence, fascist regime before it starts." But most stay along the sidelines and don't join the march to Trump Tower.
We've encountered a lot of paralysis, a lot of agony, a lot of outrage, but people don't know what to do. We're saying get into the streets. It's not the only thing that is needed, but without people being in the streets, we can't stop this. And we still have a chance to stop it before they get the keys to the nukes, before they get control of the apparatus of government.
Joseph Lally from the Bronx says there are so many reasons to march.
Trump is a man with so many conflicts of interest. So many of the people surrounding him have expressed bigotry and hatred. We worry about his call for more nuclear weapons. He doesn't seem to have the kind of temperament that would make him fit to be responsible for such weapons. So we're really worried about the future of this nation.
You know, and do you think that marching and coming out and resisting will help?
I think there's no substitute for a physical presence on the street. We should call our senators and congressmen. We should write letters. We should do all we can. But there's no substitute for being out here. If you look at history, the big turns in history, like South Korea recently impeached their president. For many weeks, they had hundreds of thousands of people on the street protesting. So it usually requires a strong message such as this. You know, when people are angry enough or worried enough, they come out and they show themselves.
Cornelius from New Jersey is marching. He says he doesn't support what Trump stands for.
We are about to get a president who doesn't know policy. He supports racism. He supports segregation. He supports, like, a wall that to keep out other people, like the Muslim registry. I don't support any of that.
In the name of humanity.
Liz Morata says she's marching for all of humanity for generations to come.
I don't know if we're going to live this. If Trump and Pence make it into the office. We have to stop this. It's got to stop.
Do you think marching is going to stop Trump and Pence?
No. No. Only our legislators can. And if more people come out and show them, our legislators, that we do not want him in office, maybe. I'm just hoping here, doing my part. I can't be in Congress or in a Senate seat doing anything, so I'm doing my part. This is me being a patriot. I love America, and Trump and Pence need to ruin it.
Activists refuse to normalize a Trump presidency. Longtime activist Travis Morales is part of the Stop Mass Incarceration movement. He's with the New York City Revolution Club and now with the Move to Refuse Fascism.
People over the next 20 days need to be mobilizing in their millions, out in the streets, going to Washington, D.C. for MLK weekend, staying the whole week, being in the streets saying no, fascist USA, no, in the name of humanity. We refuse to accept a fascist America, to create in our millions a political crisis that prevents this fascist regime from coming to power.
People are saying it's too late. He's the president-elect. He's lining his cabinet with these cronies. They feel defeated and angry and afraid.
Look, when I was young, LBJ was driven from office by the protests against the Vietnam War. Nixon was driven from office. This can be done. We've made history before, and the fate of humanity rests in our hands and our millions to prevent this fascist regime from coming to power.
Besides in New York City, New Year's Eve protests took place in Chicago, Atlanta, Boston, Tucson, Houston, Cleveland, Seattle, and Portland, in San Francisco, and in Los Angeles, where protesters spelled out illegitimate in front of Breitbart's headquarters. For more on the month of resistance, go to refusefascism.org. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Meanwhile, Democrats say they'll look for ways to stand up to Republican President-elect Donald Trump if he moves to restrict abortion rights, deport immigrants, or roll back efforts to address climate change.
Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass. The walls are made of cardboard. Newspapers on his feet, and his father beats him because he's too tired to beg. He's got 9 brothers and sisters. They're brought up on their knees. It's hard to run when a coat hanger beats you on the thighs. Pedro dreams of being older and killing the old man, but that's a slim chance. He's going to the boulevard. He's gonna end up on the dirty boulevard. He's going out to the dirty boulevard. He's going down to the dirty boulevard. This room costs $2,000 a month. You can believe it, man, it's true. Somewhere a landlord's laughing till he wets his pants. No one dreams of being a doctor or a lawyer or anything. They dream of dealing on the dirty boulevard. Give me your hungry, you're tired, you're poor, I'll piss on them. That's what the statue of bigotry says. You're poor huddled masses, let's club them to death and get it over with and just dump them on the boulevard. Get them out on the dirty boulevard. Going out to the dirty boulevard. They're going down on the dirty boulevard. Going out. Outside it's a bright night. There's an opera at Lincoln Center. Movie stars arrive by limousine. The Klieg lights shoot up over the skyline of Manhattan, but the lights are out on the mean streets. A small kid stands by the Lincoln Tunnel. He's selling plastic roses for a buck. The traffic's backed up to 39th Street. The TV whores are calling the cops out for a suck. And back at the wheelchair, Pedro sits there dreaming. He's found a book on magic in a garbage can. He looks at the pictures and stares up at the cracked ceiling. At the count of three, he says, I hope I can disappear and fly, fly away from this dirty boulevard. I want to fly, yeah, from the dirty boulevard. I want to fly from the dirty boulevard. I want to fly, 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 fly from the dirty boulevard. I want to fly away. I want to fly. Fly, fly away, yeah. I wanna fly. Fly, fly away.
Fly, fly.
Lou Reed's New York from 1989. Reed is one of 12 in a series of subway portraits by Chuck Close in the new 2nd Avenue subway line. It finally opened after a century of failed and delayed plans at 96th, 86th, 72nd, and 63rd Streets. And it's also where Governor Cuomo reaffirmed the principles which ground the state of New York.
New York says, by its very existence, you can take 18 million people from all across the globe, bring them together and form one community, and it can be the strongest community on the planet. New York says you can take Christians and Muslims and Jews, and they can all live together. You can take black and white and brown, you can take gay and straight, and you can bring people together, and you can find the unity, and you can find the commonality. And New York says, while the nation is going through its soul searching, we reject the instinct to blame. And we reject the instinct to divide. And we reject the instinct to separate. Because the only thing that can destroy this country, the only thing, is to try to divide this country. Our strength is in unity. Our strength is understanding that that diversity that our founding fathers asked for has worked, and we have come together, and it is a source of strength and a source of beauty. And that's the message that New York has to carry. We have to stand up to this nation as a model of diversity, a model of immigration, a model of finding commonality, not differences, a model that says the founding fathers were right, e pluribus unum, bring us that diverse mix, and we will make one beautiful society.
New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo at the new Second Avenue subway on New Year's Eve. Meanwhile, over the weekend, the governor vetoed a bill which would have overhauled New York State's public defense system to provide legal services for the poor. It would have gradually shifted the cost of legal services from counties to the state. The NYCLU says the legislation would have included limits on public defense attorneys' caseloads, the presence of counsel at a criminal defendant's first court appearance, and access to resources necessary to provide adequate representation. NYCLU's executive director Donald Lieberman said, "We are deeply disappointed the governor vetoed the most important criminal justice reform legislation in memory. He rejected a groundbreaking and bipartisan fix to our deeply flawed public defense system." The New York State Defenders Association called Cuomo's decision to veto the bill shocking because it would have reduced racial disparities in the criminal justice system. It would have helped to ensure equal access to justice for all New Yorkers, provided improved public defense programs for those who can't afford an attorney, and it would have provided much-needed mandate relief for counties. Cuomo wrote in his veto message that the legislation would require the state to spend more than $800 million a year to fully reimburse counties for all expenses associated with non-criminal legal defense work. This includes legal services in family and surrogate court. Critics, however, are saying that while the governor finds it too expensive to fund statewide public defense, the corrections budget in the state has soared. Now the bill must wind its way once again through the legislative process. And this is the news on WBAI in New York. With more on the upcoming week in New York politics, Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
Things get going this week in New York politics that will set the stage for the rest of 2017, both at the city and state levels. Wednesday is an important day for both the city council and the state legislature. The new year for the city council kicks off with a full-bodied meeting, and in Albany, the new class of state legislators will meet for the first time, and both the assembly and the state senate will seat their class for the 2017-2018 session, formally elect leadership, and announce chairs of committees, members of committees, and other such business. In some ways, the power dynamics in Albany are very much the same as they have been over the last 2 years. In some ways, they are different. In terms of continuity, news broke that the Independent Democratic Conference will again caucus with Senate Republicans, helping them fortify the majority, the slim majority that they hold, with the addition of Brooklyn Democrat Simca Felder, who continues to caucus with the GOP in Albany, ensuring that state Senate control rests with Republicans. It is then fortified by the Independent Democratic Conference, which will continue its coalition government with Senate Republicans for 2017 and 18. Meanwhile, the Assembly will continue to be dominated by Democrats. And of course, there's Governor Cuomo in the middle, who will navigate and attempt to continue his record of bipartisan achievement in Albany. However, not everything is as it has been, as there's more tension between state legislators and the governor simmering as the year begins over the derailment of a pay raise commission and a special session in Albany that never occurred in December. Cuomo is now halfway through his second term and is eyeing re-election in 2018 to what would be a third term, though it's a bit early to look at that. However, in the city, 2017 is an election year, and Mayor Bill de Blasio starts this week and this year in his re-election year, seeking to become a two-term mayor of New York City. As has been the case for the last couple of months and now into the new year, de Blasio will be blending some of his campaign time with his government time. At this juncture, fairly early in the campaign and without too many formidable candidates in the mix, de Blasio is mostly focused on governing as opposed to the campaign, though that will of course be ramping up as we head towards September's primaries and November's general election. Tying the city and state themes together, of course, is the relationship between de Blasio and Cuomo, which has always been contentious and continues to be quite frosty. This week, again on Wednesday, Governor Cuomo will be giving another speech in front of the Association for a Better New York. Its theme, again, is infrastructure, and we'll see what the governor will be announcing. But it's certain that de Blasio and his team will be waiting to see what that is, and then also waiting to see in the coming weeks what the governor announces in his State of the State addresses, as well as the release of his executive budget, which is expected in the coming weeks. For WBAI, this is Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
The six-month legislative session in Albany gets underway on Wednesday. This year's agenda includes proposals to modernize state voting rules, address government corruption, and permit Uber and Lyft to expand upstate. Other proposals include legislation to allow the terminally ill to request life-ending medication from a physician and a bill to end the state's practice of prosecuting 16 and 17-year-olds as adults. In other news, there's a new ad campaign launched this week which says that New Yorkers have a right to clean water, clean air, and a safe climate. Andrea Sears reports.
The groups Environmental Advocates of New York and Effective NY have joined forces to push for amending the state constitution to include a New York State Environmental Bill of Rights. Travis Prue with Environmental Advocates says the campaign was inspired by the children of Hoosick Falls, where drinking water has been contaminated with PFOA, a toxic chemical used to make nonstick coatings for cooking utensils.
They came to us and said, hey, we really want to help. We want to help educate the public on what's going on, and we want to make a difference so this doesn't happen to other people.
A constitutional amendment would have to pass in two consecutive sessions of the state legislature, then be approved by voters in a statewide ballot. The campaign is being launched with two short videos featuring children in Hoosick Falls delivering the message in their own words. This is 14-year-old Michaela Baker.
I think one of the highest priorities of New York State should be to have a healthy environment. It's ridiculous that we should even have to ask for the right of clean water and clean air.
The videos direct viewers to a website, nycleanwater.org, where they can sign a petition supporting the effort. According to Prue, legislators from both sides of the aisle in the State Assembly and State Senate have expressed an interest in the proposal.
We expect a constitutional amendment bill will be introduced within the next couple of months, and that this is going to be an issue in the 2017 legislative session.
Prue calls the amendment a powerful tool that would help New Yorkers compel their government to act in a crisis and preserve their rights to a healthy environment. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
And finally, we've all heard the horror stories of pink slime used in the production of McDonald's hamburgers. But what about the fish that you ordered for dinner? Maybe it's not the fish you thought it was. A new law in New York State seeks to provide a remedy for false advertising. WBAI's Rebecca Miles has more.
Under the new state law, people will know what they're buying when they purchase fish labeled white tuna. The regulation will take effect this month and requires any fish sold in restaurants or markets as white tuna to come from actual tuna. The law is intended to prevent fish from other species from being passed off as tuna, which can sell at higher prices. Recent investigations have shown high levels of mislabeling among fish distributors and marketers within the U.S. Among them, a study done in 2013 by Oceana, a non-profit group that seeks to protect the oceans. They took samples from 12 regions in the U.S. of fish sold in restaurants, sushi bars, and markets, which underwent genetic testing. Among the study's findings were 120 samples labeled red snapper, which on testing showed 28 different species of fish, and 17 were not even in the snapper family. The study also found almost two-thirds of the wild salmon samples were found to be farmed Atlantic salmon, which is considered less healthy and environmentally sustainable. In New York, fish that was not really tuna was passed off as tuna in 94% of the samples taken, according to the study. The New York law is targeting a fish known as escalar, which officials say is commonly sold as white tuna. Part of the problem, according to the study's chief author, Kimberly Warner, was that there are quite simply a lot of fish in the sea and many of them look alike. One of them is escalar. It looks like a tuna. It's a big fish. Sometimes it's sold under different names like butterfish or walu walu, and sushi restaurants occasionally serve it as super white tuna. The trouble with escalar is it's not in the tuna family. It belongs to the mackerel family, and it's been known to cause digestive problems like explosive oily orange diarrhea. Up against that mislabeling, lawmakers passed the legislation in June. It was signed by Governor Cuomo in September. Rebecca Miles, WBAI News, New York.
And that's the WBAI News for Monday, January 2nd, 2016. Happy New Year, everyone. The news was produced with Ben Max, Andrea Sears, Rebecca Miles, and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.